Well, good morning. I wonder if anybody's felt like donkey this year. Are we there yet? As you waited for Christmas to arrive, perhaps you felt a bit more like a grumpy ogre. Sure, there was no grumpy ogres around here. But I wonder if Mary felt like that. I wonder if she felt like that traveling to Bethlehem. Heavily pregnant on a journey she hadn't anticipated. Are we there yet? You know, the Bible doesn't actually say how she got to Bethlehem. There's no mention of a donkey. She may have ridden on a donkey or in a cart, or she might have walked. It only says that she came with Joseph. And he wasn't a donkey. Either way, this was a journey of about 130 kilometres and would have taken at least 4 days, probably more like a week. And Jews at the time avoided the direct route, which would have been through Samaria. Instead, they would take a detour from Galilee across the Jordan River and then back again into Judea further south. And that would have added many kilometres and several days to the journey, and it would have been rough and dusty and dangerous. But they actually had no choice. We think of this story with nostalgia, like a cute fairy story complete with donkeys. And yes, the story is a long, long ago and far, far away story, but it's not a cute fairy story. It's a real historical event based on and in real historical events. Mary and Joseph were forced to go. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, had commissioned a census. And not for the reasons that censuses are done in Australia today. They weren't just trying to just garner information, but as a form of control and to calculate how much more money they could tax the people they were already oppressing. And Mary and Joseph were likely still dealing with the surprise of this strange, unexpected pregnancy, and now they had to take this arduous journey, and she was carrying a baby, but not just any baby. This familiar story, and it is so familiar, is of how God sent a very, very special gift. God had given his people lots of clues. Don't you love that when you have clues for your gifts? And God had given his people lots of clues about the gift so they'd know it was coming and so they would wait for it. But isn't waiting hard? And not just for kids, for adults as well, waiting is hard. And you know, these clues, they were promises and they were called prophecies. One promise was given to a man named Isaiah a long, long time ago, about 700 years before Jesus was even born. He said this, "A child has been born for us." This was a clue. "We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace." Isaiah's promise was that the gift would be a person. Any kids find a person under their Christmas tree this morning? How strange would that be to have a person all wrapped up? Still, if I asked some adults here, kids, how many of you think your child or your grandchild is a precious gift? Put up your hand. Lots. And this baby would be the most precious gift of all for everyone. Long, long ago and far, far away. And for us here today. But back then, 700 years had passed and people were still waiting. That's a long time to wait for a baby to be born. Are we there yet? But you know, after all that waiting, When he finally came, the crazy thing was not many people even realized. There were no bells and whistles. There were no fireworks. He took Earth by surprise. He snuck under the radar, if you like. This baby wasn't what they expected. Despite all the Old Testament prophecies, despite all the clues and the promises, everything about the birth of Jesus was unexpected. As the video reminds us, they won't be expecting that. Now, we know what it's like to experience things we don't expect, good and bad. An unexpected gift that brings great joy, or the opposite. Perhaps a loss, a broken relationship, a serious illness, even a virus. Remember that? We weren't expecting that, were we? Imagine how Mary and Joseph felt. And we tend to romanticize this story as we place our nativity figures out alongside the tinsel, a bit like a fairy tale long, long ago and far, far away. But for them, it was raw and it was real. It was real. The circumstances around the birth of this baby were completely unexpected. This baby would be born in less than ideal circumstances. Even if they weren't worried about things like setting up the nursery in time, installing the car seat or stocking the freezer. But as a first-time mum, I imagine Mary would have had some natural anxiety about the birth. But she probably felt reassured knowing she'd be in familiar surroundings, comforted by the fact that she'd be cared for and looked after by the local midwife and other women known to her. Then imagine how she would have felt heavily pregnant when word came that she and Joseph had to travel. They weren't expecting that. Who wants to be forced to travel a difficult and dangerous journey heavily pregnant? And what husband wants to journey with a heavily pregnant woman? But here they were, just an ordinary young couple with dreams, I'm sure, working hard just to survive in a backwater of the Roman Empire. And I'm sure they wouldn't have imagined that this child would be born, their child, in such unusual, humble circumstances, even for back then. And yet, with this birth came joy. The joy of this child. And joy that can share space, as we said only a couple of days ago, with other emotions. Remember how the angels said to the fearful shepherds, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." And what strange visitors they had. Shepherds were the first to be told the news, and much later magi from far, far away who came to worship the child. But we know that they continued, Mary and Joseph, to experience fear and uncertainty after that visit, the visit of the magi, as they fled into exile in Egypt to protect the child. They lived as refugees in a foreign land. From our perspective, we can see the bigger picture here, but they wouldn't have. They wouldn't have. They'd no idea as these events unfolded in a way that was quite terrifying if you look at chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. See, the Christmas story was no cute romantic tale. Instead, the birth narrative of Jesus coming into this world as a baby is a dark story of loss and tragedy, of tears and pain. These were dark, chaotic times. And the couple would have felt fearful, overwhelmed, confused, despondent, and discouraged. But joy was there. And for Mary and Joseph, the only thing that was in their control was their response. And Scripture tells us their response was to be obedient to God's leading, trusting in his plan, and holding on to hope. despite their circumstances. Obedient to God's leading, trusting in his plan, and holding on to hope despite their circumstances. Sometimes it's the only thing in our control when the unexpected occurs for us. The only thing that we can control is our response. You know, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah prayed this, "Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps." See, we're the created, not the creator. And we're reminded in the Christmas story of the need to recognize our utter dependence on God that compels us to be obedient to God's leading, to trust in his plan, and to hold on to hope despite our circumstances, whatever they may be. The Good News Translation puts it like this: "Lord, I know that none of us are in charge of our own destiny. None of us have control over our own life. We think we do. We think we have control over our own lives, but truth is we're so much more vulnerable than we realize and dependent. Like a baby, really. But there's something about a baby. There's something about a baby. When you look into their tiny faces, new life is so beautiful, so captivating, in a way that stirs our emotions. And babies are so vulnerable, so dependent, so trusting. You know, God's biggest surprise came in the form of a baby. The promised Messiah, God's Son, the Prince of Peace, the hope of the world, was completely dependent on two unlikely people whom God had chosen to care for his son. Isn't that amazing? Into a chaotic world, this baby arrived. In the most unexpected of places and circumstances. And this baby would show us that hope and joy can surprise us where we least expect it. Hope and joy can surprise us where we least expect it. This baby would change the world in ways no one could have expected. No one could have anticipated, because this baby, this gift, was God himself. A gift that grew up to do what God had promised a long, long time before. A gift that lived, he lived and he died on a cross made of wood. He died for you and me because God's heart was and is for you and I to be his children as well. To be his sons and daughters. That's the whole point of this story. And of course, it didn't end there. Jesus didn't stay dead. Just 3 days later, he came back to life as a real person, just like you and me, for real life. And his resurrection proved he was the Son of the Almighty God. Jesus said, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need to be destroyed, but by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." And then he went on to say, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. At the center of Christmas is a baby. A baby that reminds us that we're part of something much greater. A baby that brought promise. A baby that urges us into places of trust and dependence in our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who continues to work out his plans and purposes, even if it doesn't make sense from our perspective. Hope comes in all shapes and sizes, even in the most unexpected places, in a baby. But not just a baby. God's gift to the world, the greatest gift of all.